This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Join Justin Townsend and the Harvesting Nature crew as they explore the world of cooking wild fish and game while sharing recipes, tips, tricks, and lessons learned from their pursuit of wild food. We sure hope you ate before the show, because you're going to leave hungry. This is the Wild Fish and Game Podcast.
Before the show kicks off here, I just wanted to tell you kind of what was going on and set the scene. So you'll hear me mention in just moments that this podcast is unique because it's taking place at our first ever wild pig hunting skills camp down in Texas. But what you won't hear me say in this podcast is that there's another opportunity to go to this skills camp, and that's actually live now on our website, where you can sign up to join us in December 8th through the 11th, back down in Texas for our second ever wild pig hunting skills camp. But also on our website, you'll notice that there's a fly fishing camp in Montana listed as well. And so that fly fishing camp's taking place the last weekend in July, the 28th through the 31st in Missoula, Montana. So that's also available for signing up. And both of those, depending on when you're listening to this, have an early bird special. And so the sooner you sign up for those camps, the more you'll save. And you'll know that you secured a seat, because we only have 12 spots in each one available. So if you sign up now, you'll get the opportunity to come hang out with the Harvesting Nature crew, learn to fish, or learn to hunt, or sign up for both. And join us on our next big adventure. All right, we're live. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Harvesting Nature's Wild Fishing Game Podcast. You got your host here, Justin Townsend, and this is a bit of a unique episode today. So I'm sitting at a long wooden table in Northwest Texas with some of my old friends and some of my new friends. And I say that because we just spent the last, three, 4 days down here in Texas at the Wild Pig Skills Camp. So in that camp, we ran all of our new friends through everything from shooting out to about 100, 150 yards. We ran them through everything with ballistics, or an overview of ballistics, I should say. Ammo, all that stuff as it pertains to hunting. Then we got them out in the hunting blinds here, hunting wild pigs. And, man, there's a good amount of pigs, which is good. And we got a good amount of pigs. I'll tell you in a minute how many pigs we got and how much total weight everybody's walking away with. So after the hunt, we had a series of cooking and butchering demos. And both teams, we divided everybody into teams. Both teams cooked dinner each night, or one night, one the next night. And got to learn a lot of information. So our goal really with this camp was to anybody who attended, no matter your level or interest or ability within pig hunting, could come to this and learn the skills they needed to replicate this hunt somewhere else of their choosing. So insert whatever location, and in a lot of cases, insert a different animal too. So this is just a well-rounded course that, one, allows you to put some meat in the freezer, and two, gives you the skills to keep growing as a hunter. So really, really excited that it happened. I'm going to let some of the crew give a discussion and talk about this, but I will preface this and say that we're going to be doing this again. We're going to come back here in Texas in December at some point, and we're going to firm up the dates, and we'll be sending those out via email to everyone, and we'll talk about it again on the podcast. But definitely looking to coming back, visiting with everyone, meeting more friends, maybe seeing some of the same friends, and of course, eating some delicious wild pig. So I'm going to circle around and go to Casey first.
Casey Nordine here. Nice to talk to you guys again. Business manager for Harvesting Nature. It's been a great week. Beautiful here in Texas. Like Justin said, it's been a great overview, a great chance to meet new folks and see beautiful country. We started with a really good overview, which we'll have Ryan talk about here in a second. And I think everyone learned something new. We were talking about it. Those taking the course and those giving the course, how much fun it is to see people that are proficient at doing specific skills and see people excited about learning a little bit from those people. So it's been a great week.
Yeah, I'll turn it over. Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam Brookmans. I'm also known as the Intrepid Eater, and I'm a field staff writer for Harvest Nature. And my role on this camp was as a cooking instructor. So we took all the wild pig that was coming in. Not all of it. A lot of it's going home with everyone, too. But we took some of the wild pig coming in and transformed it into delicious dishes with the help of all our new friends here. And I think we really proved that there's a lot of myths when it comes to wild pigs, and they are not, in fact, disgusting. They are delicious, and we proved that over and over and over again this weekend. So,
and I think, too, like, we cooked the majority of the pig, whether it not being the same pig, because we used a couple different pigs for camp meat, but we cooked through, like, nose to tail, I would say.
Yeah, pretty much everything you can cook on a pig.
What were some of the highlight cuts?
Well, it started off the weekend actually with hogshead rillettes, mm-hmm. which are basically a slow-cooked wild pig head and shredded the cheeks and everything and turned into a French-style charcuterie kind of meal. And that was served as an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
And that's not a very common cut, but it was a delicious meal out of it. So
it was good. What about you guys here? Do you guys have a favorite meal or favorite cut that you can think back that's like, holy smokes, that one like stands out to me the most?
The first thing we ate, the lollipops, that was just a starter. Better.
Nice. Anybody else?
I think that every single cut, everything you put in is just amazing. Because you hear all the rumors and it's like, this is amazing. So get out, you know, it's nothing to fear because it's good meat.
And so walking away from this, you guys feel like a little more comfortable around wild pork?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, Adam from Katy here, but I just wanted to talk about the versatility. I mean, you did everything from really cooked down cuts to almost just a straight cut you put straight on the grill. And I mean, the myths about wild hog being too gamey or being too tough or something were just completely dispelled in my mind because you ran a gamut of different preparations and every one of them was good.
And I think what was cool is that the two pigs we used for camp, we didn't do this intentionally, but it worked out to our favor, is that one was a boar and one was a sow, because you'll hear people talk about like, oh, preferring one over the other or that, but like the opportunity came up for us to take one of each. And we did, and so we had that comparison kind of throughout. And as we went through discussions through the camp here, we talked like, oh, this was a boar's liver, and also, you know, here's a sow's liver. Like, can you tell the difference between the two? And I mean, I had trouble recognizing the difference between the two, and I don't know everyone else's thought on it. But did you guys notice any difference between the flavors of the two pigs?
No, I didn't notice
any. No.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Ryan here.
Hey, Ryan here from The Way We Hunt. long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's good to be back on a podcast. It's been a little bit. So this was not the first one of these I've done, but I can tell right off the bat it's probably one of the favorite ones, though. It was just a lot of things that occurred, different venue, different people, different atmosphere. I don't think we could have asked for better weather for any of the events that went down.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. From the shooting, from the time on the range to the time in the skinning shed, to the outdoor eating on the porch to now. I mean, it's just every time it's been beautiful. So we started out on the range and got everybody kind of zeroed in on their own particular weapon, and then it was down to shooting holes in paper, see if we can get, you know, nice accurate shots, to shooting life-size silhouettes, moving and kind of transitioning on to not only shooting the silhouettes but shot placement on the silhouettes to make that nice, clean, ethical shot, which, you know, shooting as it pertains to, you know, what people would consider target shooting, and then blending those and merging those lines into the hunting world and making ethical shots and realizing that shot placement does matter, not only for the animal, for us, also when it comes to tracking, but more importantly, for meat yield, right? So all these delicious cuts that we were fortunate enough to eat from Adam over here cooking it up, it really does matter where that shot placement is, and a lot of people don't think about that. And so that was a big takeaway, I think, for a lot of people, is realizing, hey, if I want a neck roast to braise down, I probably shouldn't make that neck shot, because it's something to consider. So thinking about the meal before the shot is a great concept. I think everybody did a fantastic job on picking up on that and then applying it back, you know, in the stand.
I was really, you know, I don't know a lot of you guys prior to this event, and coming in and seeing everyone's proficiency on the range, be it whatever varying skill level, but then like walking away and then looking at your pigs as they came into the butchering area, and like us talking about shot placement. And so we gave away awards too, and we gave away biggest pig, we gave away wee little pig, we gave away we awarded the big pig, wee little pig, the best shot, and most overall improved. And it was fun because we got to kind of evaluate those positions, and it came down, there were like two shots that came down to the end. So Stacy, John's wife, like earholed a pig, which is exactly where we were kind of teaching everybody, like, if you're going to do a headshot, if you've got a good clean headshot, like, that's the spot to go. And like, you couldn't have got a more precise cut. And then Greg, he lined up two little piglets, waited till they got in line with one each other, and then shot and put one bullet through two piglets, which, I mean, that's a planned, thought through shot, which is what we're looking for. Is like, oh my gosh, there they are, boom. Like, that's not as a hunter, that's not an ethical move, because you need to understand your surroundings and your target and what's beyond it and all those things like that. So that was cool to see that sort of come to fruition. And with that, we'll talk a little bit about a size. So the varying, I mean, I think our biggest pig that came out was like 142 pounds, and the smallest at 12. And I think that's important when you think about eating pigs, is because you're going to get a variety of different pigs from the field. And then two, if you have the opportunity to take meat, like, there's no shame in taking a small piglet. There's no shame in taking a giant boar. You know, just understand that, like, there's some complexities and nuances that are going to come with that meat that need to be addressed and taken care of properly. And I think we chatted through a lot of that with everyone here. So that makes that you know, very, very fun. And I don't know, Greg, how do you feel about taking home some wee little guys?
Well, that didn't really matter to me. That's what the opportunity came, and my wife will let me come back now. So.
And you know, we were talking too yesterday. You were asking Adam Berkowitz and myself about, like, hey, what's going on? What do we want to do, or what should I do with? You know, with this, we talked about barbecuing and smoking and, you know, couchon du lait and, like, all these kind of different recipes and meals. And so, I mean, there's definitely room to have that meat in the freezer. So, super excited for you. And then down at the end of the last of our crew, we got Adam Steele. hailing from Central Florida.
Hello, everybody. Adam Steele in the rear with the gear.
So, Adam did the butchering portion of our event. You want to tell us a little bit about the processing and what we did and what we talked about?
Yeah, I think it was great to everybody get a hands-on anatomy lesson and learn from the inside out what shot placement can do, and being able to get a bigger picture before they go out in the field and shoot with intent and then cut with intent. You always want to think about what you want end product to be before you do anything. I think we connected the dots for everybody to make that happen.
And I think too, like, you guys didn't know this, but it's very strategic behind the scenes that we kind of teach it that way, going from Ryan to the range talking about shot placement and meat yield, and then Adam actually showing you, like, here's what shot placement and how shot placement affects meat yield, to kind of, like, that seals all that together. So as you walk away from here, you know, if you haven't already, like, that's an ingrained lesson on your in your mind, and you've seen it from both sides, from the rifle scope and from the butcher cleaver, like, This is the way it is. So I really enjoyed hanging out here with you guys. I'm excited, and Casey laughs at me a little bit because I get fired up, and I'm like, yes, we've got, like, this was a good group of folks. Everybody came from different places. Like, real quick, state where you guys are from.
Greg Archer, Port Gibson, Oklahoma.
Adam Herpin, Katy, Texas.
Adam Steele, Sanford, Florida.
Eric Spencer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Ken, Phoenix, Arizona.
John Vile, Pennsylvania.
Emily Vile, Pennsylvania.
And then you heard from the crew, so you got where we're from. And so very diverse group. And we're still some folks are packing up. We're here on our last day. Everybody's about to pack the meat in the coolers and head for the house. So some of those are there too. But no, had a group, I think, all in all. Nine total participants, and then you got five crew here, and then we've got the outstanding hospitality of the ranch we are at Lost Creek Ranch. So super excited to work with them on some future camps and to be invited into this space and have this type of opportunity to be created. So really, really, really fun event. It sounds like I'm pushing it hard, but no, it's a...
That's that excitement coming.
Yeah.
Well, to speak to that, Adam from Katy, Texas, to speak to that as being a complete beginner on any four-legged game being taken, this experience was absolutely invaluable. From the expertise of the Adam Steele, the professional butcher, Ryan, our shooting instructor, and Adam and with the cooking instruction, and then your harvesting nature crew to fill in any gaps that the experts may not have touched on in the training or any of the random questions that you have. It was just absolutely invaluable. I learned something significant from every one of you, and I just wanted to say I really appreciate the instruction, because I've been trying to get into hunting for a very long time. It is very difficult if you are not brought up into it. And just this course, and I learned so much in this weekend, and I'm very appreciative to you.
Do you feel like now you're like, have a confidence level to say, I want to go do this solo?
Oh, absolutely. I'm already excited to get home and start looking at public land areas around me in the Katy area, and just seeing, go and try to take my own hog.
Yeah. No, that's super awesome. And John, you guys came in from Pennsylvania and never hunted hog before, brought the whole family. What's the experience kind of been like for you guys?
John Vile, Field Sniffer for Harvesty Nature. It was awesome. Myself, my wife, my two kids, we all came down. It was a great family event. And I think it covers all skill levels. My wife has never shot a rifle before. Ryan worked with her, got proficient. I sat in the blind with her. She just ear-holed a pig, and these pigs just do not stop moving. It's back and forth, back and forth. I've shot animals before with a muzzleloader, and I struggled, and she completely ear-holed it. I butcher 4 or 5 of my own big game animals every year, and I just learned so much from Ryan. Different cuts, things to do differently. Denver steak, which I'll never forget. I'm sure I'll screw it up a bunch of times, but eventually I'll figure it out. So I think it covers all skill levels, and the amazing crew, amazing food. Adam getting up every morning and just constantly having something for us to eat, and it was all amazing. And to use wild pig, it was great.
Yeah, and I think we the purpose being to really highlight the versatility at the consumption level. So I'm thoroughly ecstatic that you guys came and were able to enjoy it, and that Emily got some extra opportunities to get out and hunt, which was fun. So the axis deer, so there's a lot of varying animals, some exotics here on the ranch too. So it's a mix of high fence and low fence here. And I know there are some folks out there that are like, well, wait, you guys, in your wholeness that you are, have been very, very involved in public land and very involved in hunting in private land and other places. So where does sort of this high fence hunting fit into the picture? And I think it creates an opportunity where other opportunities aren't available. And then in that too, looking at it from a camp perspective, what was really important to us is we wanted to create a, you know, kind of controlled environment where we could put this. You know, we didn't ask these folks to come here and join us to teach them to go out and scout pigs on public land. Like, in order to do the butchering, the processing, the eating, the cooking, like, all that has to be done in a way, and we need to have the wild pigs to do it. And so really that element of the hands-on approach to it all is, you know, that's invaluable, because we can all sit in a classroom and I can show you a drawing of, hey, here's the anatomy of a wild pig. Like, here's a picture of, you know, this delicious breakfast sandwich made with wild pork sausage. But until you do it yourself, until you, you know, get the dirt under your fingernails and, you know, the blood on your clothes and the, you know, the grease splatters and all that, like, until you get that, it's not something that's truly like a holistic experience. And I think that's why we went with that. You know, no matter high fence, low fence, whatever, like, wild pigs in Texas are still an invasive species. They're not like purposely breeding them in a pen and letting them go here. Like, this is a large place and there's lots of pigs running around, and it's still like, it's great to have them, but they still have to be managed. And, you know, as hunters, a lot of that leans on us to help manage populations, you know, through research and through data and responsibly and ethically. So in doing so, we're able to walk away with some delicious meat, which I think is to bring it sort of all full circle, and gives me the warm fuzzies at night when I put my head on the pillow. So, I don't know, some thoughts. How'd you guys like the place here, the facilities? What are your thoughts and ideas?
I think it was awesome. I mean, I wish we had a couple more days to stay just to hang out and relax. You know, there's so much to do with the cooking and butchering classes and hunting. You know, we found ourselves, like, busy constantly, and I'd like to just sit for a couple days by the pool or in the hot tub and just have a couple beers and relax.
Yeah. Beautiful pool. It's got this great waterfall feature that I had to ask them to turn off as we're sitting on the back porch here. No, anybody else? Eric, what do you think?
I think you were alluding to high fence, low fence, and I was at, you know, 50 years now hunting, because it started at 8, and it took to the final hour, so it's not easy out there.
No.
Even though it's in. These things are crafty, and
well, it's not like
everybody had to work for it.
Yeah, it's really not like there's a button they push, right? And, yeah. You know, a lot of people, they hear high fence, and then they're automatically, oh, come on, man. And so I can still, you know, as we're all sitting here at the table, and from my experiences also, it's still a hunt. You might sit in this blind for 2 or 3 days, high fence or low fence, it doesn't matter. It's not like they, you know, you push a button and
I
lead them in.
I resemble that remark. That's my point. It's like, yeah you got to work it, and just same situations. There's... You're going to take a shot or you're not, and we all know it's better not if it's not right. So it's not a pig fest here. You know, we worked for it. All of us did.
Yeah, and I think, I will say too, like not everyone was successful, but I think everyone was complete and content with the fact that like it's not also just about bringing the meat home. Like that's the great added bonus. That's the thing we all want to do. But at the end of the day, it's like you can talk about sort of to go through the stages of a hunter and like where you're at and like. You know, I'm not going to go into the individual stages, but that, like, as you work towards that sort of final stage of, like, you look at it very holistically. And I think that this helps kind of guide people on the path to say, like, hey, like, I can go out and be successful, which is awesome because that's my intent. That's why I'm out here. But, like, there's these varying reasons, too, why I do it. You know, I love being outside. I like meeting new people. I like to travel. I like, you know, new experiences. I like to challenge myself. And that even comes, all that comes to fruition here. Like, I'm sitting at a table, like I said, with new friends. Like, I will never forget this experience with you guys. And I hope that, in a good way, that you will never forget this experience with us either. And just to sort of think about that is like, man, you know, it helps grow me. It helps bring the community a little closer together, which is also our goal, is creating this sort of like wild food community of people who just, we love it and we want to share it and we want to teach others. And I hope that you guys go and do that with the knowledge that you learned here today too. So
yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Let's think. So, I don't know, Casey, got any thoughts?
We've heard a little bit from a lot of the guests. Ken, I was curious to hear what your perspective or experience was like since we've heard from everybody else.
Yeah, I loved it. You know, that's like, long story short, like 5 stars. And
yes!
I guess like just picking up on talking about the ranch, you know, one of the things that, I'm a adult onset hunter, and so this is the first time I've ever been to like a high fence spot, and the amount of care and work, you know, like the ranch is managed by two young people who have college degrees and, you know, and have been doing this all their life, and I just like really kind of like want to acknowledge and just like hats off to like the effort that they put in, you know, for the Harvesting Nature crew, y'all are amazing. You might bring down the average a little bit, but learn something. Not just from each one of you, but each one of you every day. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. I agree with Texas Adam that, you know, like this has definitely been, you know, like a confidence booster. And also just like, it like kind of opens up so much like the world of possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, like, on food, on hunting technique, on shooting techniques, everything. And so, yeah, I'm just like, just really appreciative of the experience. Invite you all out to Arizona. Put something together out there. Yeah, definitely want to be back too, just for the community. So.
And I appreciate that. And thanks for the mostly positive feedback.
hey, Ken's a little humble here. He was 10 for 10 on trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And we learned that a group of pigs is...
That's a sounder.
Sounder.
And what temperature does Trichinella die at?
That's 137?
137, yeah, yep. That's important one. Not 135. You'll still get it.
not 138, because then Adam from Florida is getting upset because we're overcooking. 1 degree over.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The goal too is to expand beyond just this camp. Some of you guys were asking me this morning, like, what's next? What's the next adventure? Like, so we're shooting for a fly fishing camp. Hook to Fork, as you call it, up in Montana at the end of July. So we're finalizing logistics on that. That should be out here very soon. We were just chatting through some ideas that we had, maybe some stuff up in the Pacific Northwest, fishing, foraging, doing geese in Colorado, like pheasants in the plains, like all these different things. We really want to spear fishing on the West Coast, saltwater fishing down in the Keys. Like, I think, and I will caveat this too, that all this is done with a price tag that's like all inclusive, because I want everybody to be able to walk away with the educational piece. Logistics are logistics, and everybody, wants to be involved in this and get their contribution, which is absolutely 100% earned. I make sure that everybody works hard and that they get up early in the morning and make no. Everybody's so committed that you're just there. Like, the passion shows through with the instructors and with all those involved. So it's like that interaction like never occurs. But going back to say, like, this is all done to like just so people will come. Like, I want you to come enjoy the experience. Like, let us deal with the logistics and the details. Like, just come with the open mindset of like, I'm gonna go, I wanna be involved, I wanna have fun, I wanna learn. And like, with that, like, walking away from this, you will likely be more than satisfied. So, all right, so we're about 28 minutes in, and I don't wanna keep you guys too long because we still got some butchering and car packing and people gotta make it to the airports and whatnot. So I'll do a quick around the room with the crew. Do you guys have any thoughts? Any last ideas? Think about it for a minute if you don't.
I would just say huge shout out again to Lost Creek Ranch and everybody that's been more than hospitable to us here. Like Ken was saying, they're very professional. They know their stuff. We were continually amazed over and over again, like, wow, they've got experience in taxidermy and horticulture and all sorts of different stuff. So just a huge shout out to them.
I will talk about the accommodation piece. So talking with Brennan and Cheyenne, and I was like, they're like, what are you doing outside walking around the parking lot and like walking down the road? I was like, well, I'm trying to find these plants because I want to do a plant talk. And Cheyenne's like, well, I was on the range plant team in my university. Like, I know some about plants. And I was like, perfect. I was like, in an hour, can you do a walkthrough of like all these plants in Texas? And she's like, yeah. She's like, that's awesome. I'd love to do it. And she went and grabbed her book and put together this like 40-minute walk for everybody. And I mean, I don't know. What did you guys think about the walk? Because that was a surprise to me when it just made itself up.
It was definitely one of the highlights. I think the part of what I really just actually was like blown away with is like, there's folks who have like kind of like book learning, and then there's like the real world, and she has a blend of both, and it's like, this is what this is what this plant is, but this is actually how you use it, or this is like what different animals use it for different times of year. And that was just really cool.
I think too, that one that like you hit it on the last one that like really piqued my interest. One, here's the plant that will kill you, so don't eat it. Two, like turkeys love to eat this in the fall. So if you're out there in the fall and you see a field with, you know, with this particular plant in it, that may tell you like, oh yeah, turkey could come through here because there's a lot of available food source. And that really got my brain moving of like, I need to be better about that, because I think a lot about food for me, but when you talk about food for the animals, like in the natural world, like that helps kind of sharpen my skills as a hunter to say, this place looks really good. Maybe nobody's looked here because, you know, it's kind of out of the way. But man, judging this habitat, like this could support wildlife pretty well. Like this is the place to be. So, any thoughts from the crew?
Yeah, I think yes. On the food side of things, I'm Adam Berkmans here again. And my mind is always on food, but I think we ate 12 to 15 pork dishes this weekend. Are you guys sick of pork at all yet? Well, yeah, pork?
Not at all.
and that just shows the versatility of the meat and the complexity of the meat. I think if we had been eating farm pork, we would have been well sick of it by this point. But I think because of just how interesting a meat it is, we could just continue eating it for a few more days and not even think about it. But I just thought that was kind of neat that we could eat pretty much for every meal this entire time we had wild pig in some form.
And the embracing of nails to toe, or not nails to toe. Yeah. Eating the whole animal is just like, we talked a lot about different cuts and the wiggly bits, and like, I think there were people that tried liver and heart for the first time.
Tongue.
Yeah. And like, experiencing different flavor profiles from the same animal just based on the cut was like a huge way of like, we can have pork for several days in a row and not get sick of it.
Yeah. It's not too, like, these dishes are very masterfully crafted. I'll give you that, Adam. It's not like we're having barbecue and, you know, potato salad. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I love those foods. But like, to eat, you know, barbecue and heavy meals like every day over and over, it just like, that would weigh on me. But you guys are 100% right. Like, this is something easily incorporated into my diet and added in there with the fish and the venison and the elk and all that other stuff. It's just like, boom, here's my pork dishes. So we split you guys into teams, right? We had the green team and we had the orange team. And you guys cooked. Orange team, what did you guys cook? Remember?
We cooked a schnitzel.
Yeah. What else?
The German potato salad.
Yeah, with the hot cabbage. That was really good.
What's that one? What's the full name?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I think it's rotkohl. It's a red cabbage, like a braised red cabbage dish.
Yeah. That was super good. Yeah. I liked it. Adam Steele was the fry daddy on that one. And then the green team, you remember what you guys cooked?
They're Thai skewers. I don't remember the exact...
Mu ping,
which they were absolutely delicious. I mean, we only marinated the meat for half hour, maybe something like that. It had a great flavor, and it was a shoulder cut. I wasn't sure whether it was going to be kind of tough, but it wasn't tough at all. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm. And of all the great meals we had, and you know, despite the hard time I gave you about the schnitzel. That was they're all great meals, but that Thai meat was absolutely delicious. That was far and above better than anything else we had this weekend of this week of great food.
I'm glad to hear.
We had this wonderful sour cream ice cream.
Yeah.
Sugar, a little bit of bourbon, vanilla. From the host, and some Luxardo cherries in it. So he said that a lot of the hunters leave a lot of sour cream and he doesn't want it to go to waste. So
yeah, that is
popped
true.
Off last night.
I will highlight that too, to say also last night for like our final deal, we did a sampler of different meats like some from the ranch, some from other places around the country of various types of animals. I think what was your guys' favorite? Mine was the yak.
Yeah.
The yak was phenomenal.
Probably my favorite too. Yeah.
The fallow deer was pretty off the charts.
Fallow deer, well. That was good.
That teriyaki pig was good too. Like just
yeah,
that was real good.
I don't think there was any misses on last night, but
the bison meatballs were really good.
I think
I'll say it this way: I didn't have anything bad.
Bison meatballs? They must have gone quick.
I think second up there was like that Neil guy, the Neil guy summer sausage. That was good.
And Adam Steele's cured meats he brought. The prosciutto, like meat, and the all made from wild pig was incredible. It blew my mind. He's really good at what he does.
Yeah, I can't wait to get home and try the ham recipe that he wrote into my notebook that we got for coming here. And you are truly a master of cured meat, so I can't wait to try your recipes.
You know, talking about going home brings up a good point on here real quick. So you guys, you know, many of you have come and, you know, this either with little experience or with no experience. But when you go back home to your respective communities and in your family, when they don't do it, now you've done this, it kind of makes you the subject matter expert and within your own little sphere of influence. So, you know, take those lessons and show them, because now people are going to be turning to you. Well, hey, how do you cook this pig? How do you do this? Where do I need to shoot this pig or this deer or whatever? So it kind of just, it's an ever expanding sphere that kind of goes out. So that's one thing that I really like to see, because when the light bulb goes off, when someone makes that first connection on an animal, or they take the, you know, a loin off perfectly, or they, you know, separate a hindquarter perfectly, and then they go, oh, now I understand it, and now I can show somebody else how to do that. That just builds that outdoor community, that builds that wild game community. So it's kind of a concept that I always like to think about, and I'm listening to them talk and how fired up they are. I can't wait till they get home and they start telling other people about it.
Yeah.
So we can dispel on a large scale the myths about wild hog, you know, and other things like that. So kind of a fun concept to think about what's going to happen, the domino effect downrange. So.
And I will say that too, is like as we've grown close as friends over the past few days, like our relationship doesn't end here. It's not like, all right, put you in the car, let me help you with your bags, like see you later. Like we're I was telling Greg this morning, I was like, you're gonna see probably some emails from me over the next week of like Adam and I owe him all the recipes written out with some photos and stuff like that. And you know, I'm always here, I'm always available. We're all on social media. You have our phone numbers. You know, I get lots of random texts of pictures of meat and food and people sitting in tree stands giving me thumbs up. And I love it. I love it because it gets me pumped up, and it, you know, there's a lot that goes on in life. And, you know, at various times people may or may not struggle to get motivated. But I tell you, keep sending me those pictures. There's no struggle in my house.
I guess I kind of sad going back, because we really, in Illinois and Missouri, where I hunt a lot, maybe more Missouri, but Illinois, we don't really have a legitimate feral. So I'm thinking when I do my archery, it always asks on there, so did you see any feral pigs? Well, I don't. So I'm kind of thinking I'm going to go back, get the data, figure out where the feral pigs are in the state, and get up and see if I can get up there and say, hey, I can take care of some of that for you. Because there's not legitimate, you know, you don't have that opportunity, but there must be some feral pig in Illinois, and I'm going to figure out where they're at.
See? That right there alone. Now you're doing a service to your state and your plates.
Well, not only that, but you can parlay in that, you know, well, you know what I can do, and you know what kind of hunter I am. Deer season is coming up now. You know, can I hunt your property now? And you know, that's a big thing. You give them something.
That's a great point.
Good for you.
Collaboration and helping the landowners out and dealing with they have problems.
And then at the end of it, you can like, hey, here's this delicious pork schnitzel that I made up.
You got to be careful with that, because then they'll be like, you know, once enough. You leave my pigs alone. So it's a fine line, you know. So.
No, I think that's awesome. And Eric, you and I, we shared a unique event last night.
We did.
With a thermal hunt. So
yeah, we had two scout guides with us that were eyeing and putting us on, and And
that's some really spectacular shots for being with thermals.
Yeah, people don't know it, but Justin and I, we've been training like those shots we had.
We had
like four within 2 inch in the night.
I've never seen two people shooting two different weapons put in like a 4 inch group with four different shots from two different rifles at different times,
at
seconds
night.
Apart at night,
running.
We weren't running; the pig was running.
Just a testament to how good the shooting instruction was.
That's right. It all boils down to that.
And the weapon.
And we're provided.
It's all those times I've sat next to you in the car vehicle. It's just like, you know, when you go to college, they tell you to put the textbook under your pillow so you can just absorb the knowledge. That's it. No, that was a really cool experience. I'd never done that. That's something that they do here at the ranch, too, which is a very unique opportunity, especially in Texas, too. There aren't a lot of states in the U.S. or in Canada, provinces in Canada that allow hunting with thermals at night. But I think it was cool to come down here and do that.
That wasn't easy either, right?
No,
it was all the way down to the end, and we're like concluded we're heading back empty, and it just happens.
Yeah,
and those hogs, they took us right, and we had to go left because we were conscious of surroundings and, mm-hmm. and making sure we had good shots and we're on them. So
yeah, and it's dark outside. It was very dark last night, and then pulling up the optic and looking through and having like this white light in one eye and like this dark lack of light in the other eye and no depth perception, and following Ryan, who's wearing a black sweatshirt, and I'm like, I don't know where everyone's at. All right, I'm good. In a very safe way, because we're all together in a group, but I say that with a little jest, but it overall good experience. And I think, you know, seeing everybody going home happy and like enjoying the whole experience, and whether or not you're going home with a pig is just like makes me super, super, super happy, because I would say mission accomplished in this regard. So I'll swing it back around the table. Anybody got any questions for us as a crew? You got any questions? You got any last comments or thoughts?
Adam from Texas here again. I just want to say thank you. I can't tell you enough how informative this weekend was. You're truly doing a service to the hunting community, because whether they realize it or not, I know a lot of them don't like more pressure in the woods. But a lot of them don't realize that the fewer hunters there are, the fewer people voting on hunting initiatives. Mm-hmm. And so you're doing a huge service to build that community up and to keep the traditional conservation principles of this country alive. So thank you both for the personal gains and for the societal gains that you're putting out there.
Thank you. All right, moving around to that side of the table.
I'll be completely honest. I know I can't do this the rest of my life. There's going to be a time where physically I'm not able, and the selfish part of me wants to eat like this the rest of my life. So teaching other people and seeing that light come on is a huge win for me, because on my deathbed I can be like, hey guys, I need this to eat. And I know someone out there can bring it to me.
No, just deep appreciation, I think Texas Adam summed up all the big stuff. But the one thing I would just like add is like, if you're out there, you're listening to this, and there's another one of these, sign up, do it. Like, it's a little bit of a leap of faith, but it's not as big a step as you think it is. And what you step into is community. What you step into is a world of learning, and really good eats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank everybody, the ranch, but especially Brendan and Cheyenne, for all the work that they've done. My daughter Emily has wanted to shoot an axis deer for about 4 years now, and they put on one of the biggest hoaxes in my life. Half a day thinking that Emily had shot and missed, and for hours I kept questioning her, well, how could you have missed? How far was it? Didn't you range it? And here we go out in the evening hunt, and here's this beautiful axe sitting in the back of the 4x4. So, I mean, that was
That was awesome.
I think that was the highlight of my weekend, seeing her tell you, then your reaction, and then her reaction to your reaction. And I wish I could capture that moment, because it was something very special.
Yeah, I think you ended up with some hot sauce in your eyes.
I did. It brought a tear to my eye seeing you guys. And then we had just eaten some, like, really spicy sriracha sauce. And I was wiping the tear out of my eye, and I just kept crying for about a half hour. There are
things you can touch after you put something hot on your
face. We won't talk about
that. I'm just glad it was my eye.
Mike is the most experienced at the table, so he knows.
All right, going around.
I think we just busted a lot of myths. I think there are just a ton of myths when it comes to
wild hogs. And we just spent a weekend busting all those myths, and I think that's important. And I think you guys will go back into the world and spread that word around that people have been misinformed about hunting and eating wild pigs. And I think that was my favorite part of the weekend, was just seeing how many myths we could bust all at once.
I think that's interesting, because we know there's the preparation in terms of time helps with all this. So, you know, this was all fresh. Like, this is like real fresh, and it was excellent. So then it's like, if you take it to the, you know, aging levels that are typical, it's like it's gonna get even better, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys had some of that, right? Cured meat's a form of aging.
Yeah.
So that's a preservation technique, and you guys had lots of cured meat that Adam Steele made down there. So you too have seen that, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Casey?
No.
Nothing?
Thanks to everybody. It was a great week. Couldn't be happier. Can't wait for the next time.
Mr. Michael, got anything?
Yeah, you know, it's just probably a little different than most people here. I've had a little hunting experience. I'm a pretty decent cook, and you know, I've been butchering in that, but you know, I've been away from hunting for quite some time, and getting older, which isn't the best thing that's ever happened to me, but better, you know, than any alternative that you've got to it. But it what really helped me here is everybody here at the ranch and the crew here running this show went overboard to help me and, you know, show me what I can and what I can't do, and work with the limitations that you've got, and, you know, how to overcome them, and, you know, how to, and it was great. And it, you know, it took a while for me to get my hog. Almost last night, and, you know, they ended up getting scared off within minutes from, you know, or less than a minute from my shot. But, you know, guys worked with me. It was great, and got my hog this morning. And it was, you know, even if you're not exactly a first timer, you know, things change in your life. It's good to have somebody else looking over your shoulder, helping you out, saying, you know, I see this and that, you know. I don't see that. Well, hey, if I get in there with my scope, though, I've got some more light gathering and ability, and now I can see. And, you know, I know that just with naked eye isn't going to work that well for me. You know, got a loan of a night scope yesterday here, and, you know, able to see what they were able to do and what they had to it. So it's been a great experience. I learned an awful lot.
I'm glad there's no sriracha at the table right now.
All right.
You're not the only one.
Over to you, Ryan.
Nope, great time. Everybody was, you know, kept an open mind on the shooting side. That, you know, it's always a mixed bag, from no experience to a lot, and sometimes people are set in their ways, but they weren't on this trip, and made my job really, really easy, because I just had to present it, and glad everybody picked up maybe a little morsel or two to help them make some ethical shots down the road. So yeah, everybody seemed to knock it out of the park with that. Had a good time. It was a fun day, a fun morning on the range for both teams. There was lots of laughs, some side jokes and everything else like there always is. So it was a great time.
Well, I want to close out here because we're running out of time, unfortunately. And I don't want to hold you guys up from airplanes and long car rides. I don't want to hold myself up from a long car ride either. But I am so grateful to have met you guys and gals and had the opportunity to connect and learn from you. Believe it or not, you guys taught me things this week too. It's a two-way street when it comes to community. I think that's why we call it community and not just like whatever other word you want to call it. Like it's it takes all of us to participate in it and contribute, and I think you guys are there too, whether you know it or not. And I'll give a last thanks and shout out to the ranch. Thanks for hosting us and accommodating us and all the delicious treats that made the experience even the better, and looking forward to the future to come with that. And I will say, for those folks out there, like, keep an eye out. We're gonna be posting courses. Like the world has changed as we move out of challenging times and into personal interaction again, and I want to, you know, run full steam into that and get out there too and start meeting people and shaking hands and, you know, cheersing and enjoying some delicious wild game and fish and plants and all those wild things. But I will say this, keep an eye out, sign up. Just like Ken said, don't hesitate. I was a little nervous walking into this too. I'll admit, but you know, everything worked out great and we're happy. I'll leave with that. It was awesome. So, for everybody out there, whatever podcast platform you listen to, make sure you're following, subscribed. And then also too, that same podcast platform that you listen to, punch that 5-star button, leave us review. Tell us what we're doing wrong, or, you know, tell us what we're doing right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.